Right. Welcome everyone to the October 11th, 2022 Verifiable Credentials API call. Our agenda is here. Go ahead and share my screen, might as well. Today on the agenda, is just our regular introductions, agenda review, introductions, relevant community updates. And we have a lot of issues here. I wanted to add at least two things on it. One of them is just a review of the VC API snapshot, that we, had agreed to, publish last week. Just make sure that we have agreement on that since we have, a different set of people on the call this week. A conversation about VC API exchange, Dimitri. I don't know if you are interested in having that discussion today, or, next week, but we can, basically put a time on the agenda for that if you want to say anything about that. And then the rest of the time is basically, issue processing. What should the response body for posting to credential status be? What should we do about the internal versus external API language? Should we do a test for an issue with the default issuer provided? This issue we might be able to close. And then any other issues as time permits. Are there any other changes or updates to the agenda? Anything else we want to discuss today? Okay, if there are no other changes, let's go ahead and jump in to the first topic, which is introductions and relevant community updates. Is there anyone new on the call today that would like to introduce themselves? Anyone want to reintroduce themselves because of a change in position or what you're working on? Okay, if not, any relevant community updates? Anything happening that the group should know about? I can start off with the data integrity stuff. Is moving forward. We're going to do a first public working draft for the data integrity work probably in the next month or so. There is a new EDDSA 2022 crypto suite, which is just a minor variation on the 2021. So we expect that stuff might start impacting this group, if we decide to change like some of the default crypto suites that are used for some of the tests. Actually, let me rephrase that. If you're passing the test suites today, you'll continue to pass the test suites. There will just be new test suites for the new, crypto suites. Dimitri, this is the EDDSA one. EDDSA 2022. So let me put in a link to the updated data integrity spec. So a lot of the core concepts are getting locked down here. And then there is the, I just need to add the website here. Let me try, what is it, ED, this one, and I'll have to hack the URL, EDDSA 2022, did it have a dash in it? Yes, I guess right. Okay, so here's the link, new EDDSA 2022, a crypto suite, test suite. This one, this test suite here, it's just us in it right now, but it's effectively almost the exact same thing as the ED 25519 signature 2021. they're byte for byte compatible on the signature. It's just you specify a different type and, you specify a crypto suite value. So the type has to be data integrity proof and the crypto suite value must be EDDSA 2022. Other than that, it's the exact same thing as the, as this crypto suite, the ED25519 signature 2021. And again, like nobody needs to implement it anytime soon. It's just a demonstration that, the new data integrity spec is implementable, as is. There is a, just so folks have it, let me see data integrity. Let's see, it's VC data. It's a VC data model. This is also somewhat important, in that there is this new data integrity proof thing. So I'll go ahead and link to here, this discussion about how. There's a discussion on streamlining the data integrity stuff. And so anyway, there's a new crypto suite, a conformance test suite, an explanation of how it works, and an implementation, to just demonstrate that all this works. So anyway, this stuff's going, you know, happening, in the verifiable credentials working group. The data integrity spec, seems to be settling down, which means that we're going to start specifying a bunch of new crypto suites like ECDSA, EDDSA, and BBS. And then we're going to have test suites that are driven by the VC API, to test the functionality in all these specifications. So it's just a heads up for people. More than likely, you're not going to have to think about doing implementations for, you know, 3 to 6 months, maybe even 9 months from now. But that's, of importance, in going on right now. I think that's it for that kind of, update. The other thing that's going on right now is the, JFF Plugfest is going on and there's stuff happening with, VC API there. Specifically, there are a number of issuers using the issue endpoint to issue verifiable credentials. And then there's some work that's going on in, the VC API exchange, mechanism. Dmitry, I don't know if your audio is working now and you can say something about that or if you're still on mute.
What was the question again? This was.
So earlier today in the JFF, Plugfest, you said that you wanted to kind of talk about something with the VC API group around the exchange stuff. Do you want to do that today or do you want to do that some other point?
Right. So the question that, let's say at another call, I'm not sure I have, exact question formulated.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Having said that, I see James is on the call. James, did we have anything to ask to the VC API group from our previous conversation about exchange endpoint and issue endpoint?
No audio from you, James, if you're saying anything. You could type it in if your audio is not working for some reason.
Okay, I think I'm not sure if James is reconnecting. Anyways, Manu, thank you for giving us a chance to ask the question.
Okay, all right, we can cover it at some other point. So all that to say that there are definitely usages of VC API. A number of companies using VC API to do issuance. In the JFF Plugfest, and, there are a few that are looking at using the exchanges stuff to do full blown issuing. So to do effectively a DID authentication and then do an issuance. So we may want to talk about that, prioritize talking about that if any questions come up around that, later on. Okay. Anything else happening in the ecosystem that, we should talk about? Anything else, impacting VC API? All right. If not, we can jump into our first agenda topic, and that is actually before we do that, almost forgot. Pull requests. We have a couple of PRs. Interestingly enough, from people that don't attend these calls, they're finding things in the spec and fixing them, which is good. Many of them are just obvious editorial issues. There's a PR in to rename apt coordinator, which is a decision we made a long time ago. And so that PR's in. We still have these PRs hanging out from the days where we were just wrapped around the axle talking about, authorization. My suggestion is that we close both of these PRs. They've just been hanging out literally for over a year at this point, and it doesn't look like they're going to be reformulated to be able to be merged in. So would there be any objections for us closing PRs, these PRs that are over a year old?
How relevant are they? I'm not familiar with these PRs.
They're not relevant anymore. I mean, this was, I think it was a big fight over, like, are we going to define authorization to include, you know, everything like GNAP or OAuth2 or nothing, and so there was a big fight over which ones we would mandate, and they just didn't go anywhere. And then the thing on authorization delegation was a, you know, we are going to allow delegated authorization. But even that, you know, came with like people saying we have to define exactly how we do it. And so my suggestion is they're not relevant to the current discussion. Did that answer your question, Pat?
Yeah, sure. Because I remember you were talking about OAuth2 a few weeks ago. That seemed to be the decided authorization mechanism.
At least that, yeah. That's what everyone has implemented. And so, like, the spec would be, you know, a work of fiction if it didn't actually talk about what the implementers have implemented.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, and that was a totally separate thing. That's a different PR that hasn't been raised yet, but it will be. Okay, well, then we can close both of these. I'll do that after citing the discussion around them. Not much else in the way of PRs. The other thing I wanted to raise really quickly is publication of file community CGR. API for VCWG. So publication of verifiable credential API, final community group report for verifiable credential working group. We had raised an issue a while ago around snapshotting the VC Assure Verifier API for VCWG. During last week's call, which interestingly enough had a very different set of people attending, same time, we asked if we could go ahead and publish the note with the caveats that have been discussed in here, and there were no objections for it. So let me ask again, since we have a different set of people on the call this week. Let me try and get this a little larger so people can see. The proposal is to basically publish the VC API as a final community group report that covers generating a VC, generating a verifiable presentation, verifying both, and checking the status. It specifically does not include the exchanges stuff, as that was viewed as too controversial to put in. Would there be any objections to doing that on the call today? Patrick, you're on the queue. Go ahead, please.
Forget if I asked that the last week, but so it says Snapshot VC issuer verifier as holder been left out deliberately, or it includes the holder as well?
No, we didn't use the term holder because certainly like Transmute wanted the ability to create presentations and you could call that the holder API. Mm-hmm. So instead of calling out the roles, we're going to include all three roles. But cut out the parts around exchanges.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to include everything as one. So you just divide it by like credentials and presentations and, because in the VC API spec, there's like the issuer, verifier, holder, which are three. They each have their own sort of subsections of the paths that are available. In my head, and I don't know if it was decided to do it like this or if it's the way that it came out, but there should be one spec with all the paths and the solution implements the ones that it supports.
We may be miscommunicating a bit. So the current spec has issuing, verifying, and presenting, right? And so we moved away from doing it by role to doing it by kind of action, right? Mm-hmm. And the only part that people are disagreeing with is this exchanges, sections 3, 4, 6, 7, and 8. Like these three are the things that people are like, do not include those.
Okay. So presenting would be the holder, basically.
Yes. But generating a presentation, not presenting. We would get objections if we put presentation in there. That doesn't mean we can't do it later, but for this round, we've gotten at least multiple people saying that they would object to it if we included the exchanges stuff. Now, to be clear, we can continue to work on exchanges in this group. They just don't want to put exchanges in front of the verifiable credentials working group yet.
Yeah, I'm not too sure exactly what the exchange is about. So the exchange, as I understand it, has got to do with anything that transfers information from one to the other.
No, it's in the spec, I can understand why that's the general definition of exchange, but in the spec, it means something very specific. It means these sets of API endpoints, the slash exchanges endpoints. If that makes sense. So you see like this thing, anything that starts with slash exchanges, that's the thing that people said they'd object to if we tried to include it in the thing that we sent to the VCWG.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, so the suggestion was like we would not include 3, 4, 6 through 3, 4, 8, but would include everything else, which is issuing a credential, arguably get credentials, getting an updating status, verifying, deriving, approving, exchange discovery we would probably take out, and then initiate exchange, continue exchange, and exchange examples.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So let me just make sure and ask again, are there any objections to prepping that to go to the VCWG?
Do you want to process the queue, Manu? Or...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And, go ahead, Mahmoud.
So I had a question about how does this actually work when, how does work occur if this is accepted in the VC working group.
Yes.
Do we have two separate? I've asked this before, but I'm blanking on it.
No, I don't think we'll figure it out, but I don't think anything was proposed. So let me try and propose. I'll put myself on the queue to propose something. Go ahead, Joe.
I think we still need to annotate the endpoints as to what component they're in. I think if we don't do that first, I think we're going to be causing more confusion than enlightenment.
Okay, point taken, and I will try to put in a PR to do that, Joe.
And I'll, flag me for it, and I'm happy to engage with you to help iterate that.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, and we have agreement to do that already, like, in an issue, so that should just be a mechanical thing that we can work through rather than something the group has to sign off on.
Agreed.
Yep, good point. Mahmoud, to... answer your question or attempt to answer your question. So here's a proposal. I think we've never had to do this before, that I can think of. Usually when you hand a document over to a group, you just hand it over and it just totally goes over to them and the community group stops working on it and the working group takes it over, right? In this case, it's a little different where we want to continue refining the document, but we also want to publish a snapshot. There are two ways to do that. One of them is to just cut a release and just make that the snapshot and make that the note. I've tried to figure out a bunch of ways to do that. That's not disruptive. And I can't think of an easy way to do that. Other than just them point to the CCG and say, we're going to snapshot, that specific document that looks like a note in the VCWG. So one approach here is just create a static copy, just the document itself with nothing else, and publish it. The other thing that we can do is we can do one of two things. Either the VCWG would fork our repo, the thing that we're working on here, and then they would create a branch which would then publish a note. So that's one thing that could be done, where basically this group continues to retain ownership over the repository and continues to work on it. I expect members of the VCWG to object to that, meaning they're probably going to say, if we are publishing a note, we need to be in control of the source where the note comes from and the repository, and it needs to be clear that, yada, 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 right? So that's one argument against that. The other thing that we can do is we can transfer our repository over to the Verifiable Credentials Working Group, so it will be in there, and then we can refork it, meaning that the note will be published from VCWG, and they'll have ownership over the repo and all that kind of stuff. But we will have a fork that we work on that does, newer and better, and it just does new things, right? And then every now and then, if the VCWG wants to publish a new note or a new iteration of it, they can pull the changes from us into their repository, and that should continue to work. So my suggestion is we do that thing. So basically we say, we give our repository over to the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. We fork it. We continue to do our work here, and then they will pull in new versions of it as things occur. So let me stop there. Mahmoud, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
That makes a ton of sense. The last option you said, which is they take ownership, we fork, that resonates quite a bit with me. The question that I have is, we expect them to do changes, right? I mean, that's the point of giving them the note in the first place, that they would weigh in and provide some sort of input and make some sort of adjustments in some way, right?
Yeah.
How does this normally, because this is the, I was going to say, how does this normally work? But I think you just said this hasn't happened before, to your knowledge, so not sure. But basically, how do you envision we reconcile differences? Would it be a case of their note is the authoritative note, and everything we do is an extension to it. So any changes they implement, we would have to implement too? Or are we okay with them diverging in some way? Does that, yeah. Sorry if my question was not salient, but do you want me to rephrase?
Or no, it makes perfect sense. So the question is, if they make changes, what do we do, right? Meaning as a community group, what do we do if they make changes? So my suggestion is that, you know, whoever's going to edit this document, and I'm raising my hand, I'm totally happy to, you know, try and make sure that things stay the same between the VCWG and this group. We should be, well, let me try and figure out a way to say this correctly. We should keep them in sync, right? Because if the verifiable credentials working group is saying you're doing something, then, we do have a say, because a number of us are in that group as well. We have a say over what happens. I think the notes are different, right? So this thing, is not a quote unquote authoritative anything. A note is just like here's a bunch of ideas we were thinking about and we're just publishing it out there. And notes are kind of like snapshots, right? And so publishing a note is like publishing a snapshot of current thinking at that point of time, at that point in time. The note in the verifiable credentials working group can actually point to our work as the editor's draft. So people would go and look at the note as published by the Verifiable Credentials Working Group, but if they wanted to see the latest copy of it, they would be redirected over to the Credentials Community Group, VCAPI Group, us, right? So I think there's a way to keep everything in sync and aligned, no problem. And if it looks like things are going to diverge greatly, then we can have a discussion about that at that point. But there will be a number of us in that group that will probably object very strenuously for there being any kind of divergence, right? Because, like, what's the upside? So in practice, I don't expect it to be a problem. But, you know, we should all be very much aware that this is not usually how things happen. Did that help, Mahmoud?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, I think, you know, if we'll just try it, and if it blows up in our face, then we can figure out a way to, you know, some other way to work. But I'm pretty confident that this mode of operation should be okay. Because I don't think we're going to tell the Verifiable Credential Working Group, like, hey, this stuff's actively being worked on every single week in the CCG. VCWG is just taking a snapshot, you know, an agreed to snapshot of that work, and work will continue in the CCG. So at no point should somebody say, like, oh, now the work's going to happen in the VCWG. Go ahead, Logan.
So, I think I might have missed it in there, but just, so the VCWG would be authoritative over the note, and the VCAPI working group would still be authoritative over the VCAPI, is that right? And they're just okay to diverge?
Kind of. Let me try and re-explain it after Dimitri goes. Go ahead, Dimitri.
I think my question was, can you explain again why the VC working group wants a snapshot, especially after the emphasis that that it's data model and that the API is out of spec?
There is an entry in the charter saying that we're going to publish some kind of API as a note. So that's the, the VCWG charter. I don't know if I can, let me try and find that while other people go. Go ahead, Logan.
No, I was just saying, I thought in the, that it was just that we'd publish like guidance on APIs rather than an API itself. I might be wrong on that though.
There, so if we look at the charter, let me see, is this the latest one? Yes. So in the charter, we have a section on one or more HTTP protocol definitions for verifiable credential exchange, such as the VCAPI. as another deliverable that we can publish. And there are multiple people saying that they want to work towards publishing that thing. Go ahead, Patrick. Let me try and answer Logan's question. So you asked, you know, is the note is the VCWG authoritative on the note, and are we authoritative on the API? They're the same document. So I think the answer to that is both yes and no. There's only one document that we're talking about, and that's this document, right? What the VCWG can do is they can take a snapshot and publish this document. So they can publish a snapshot of this document. While we, the VC API, and to be clear, this is a community group, Logan, not a working group. So we're not an official working group. We're a community group. Meaning that the work that we're doing here, is pre-standards work. It is not a part of an officially ratified working group at W3C. They have a different standing, right? So we're kind of like the incubation, pre-standardization group, and we want the working group to take a snapshot of this document, if that makes sense. So there's only one document. It's just the VCWG is going to publish a snapshot of it effectively. Did that answer your first question?
Yeah, I think so. So this community group would be the one that's still working on the VC API document, and the VC working group would just pick up a copy it and put it in, you know, not necessarily in that way, but to like take a static version and publish it as a note in the VC working group.
That's correct, yes.
And this group would stay authoritative over this document.
That's right. Yeah, we'd continue to work on it in here.
Cool. Yeah, no, that answers the question. Thanks, man.
Okay, no problem. Patrick, you had a question.
Just two things quickly. First of all, if you could share that link with the charter, I would like to have a link. Have a read, yes. Yeah. And my second question was like, so historically, from what I understand, there used to be some sort of VC API part of the credential community group, and then it got rejected. Is that what I understood?
No.
No?
Not rejected.
Sorry if maybe it's the wrong term, but because I remember there was a verifiable credential API test suite that was part of the W3C GitHub repo, and it sort of got moved to this credential community group.
I don't remember that happening. The VC test suite, the VC API test suite, has always been in the CG. It's never been promoted into the working group.
Okay. So once you will publish this note, after this, there's going to be like periodic updates made, or how it's going to go from then on is going to be
up to us and the VCWG to decide. So if we feel like we want to publish an update every month, we could do it. If we wanted the updates to happen every week or every day, we could agree to that. Every quarter, it's up to us and the VCWG to determine at what rate we publish new versions. Yeah, all options are available to us, and we'll just have to talk about that in the VCWG. And then we'll, of course, communicate that back to this group and so on and so forth. So yeah, the frequency is to be determined, I guess is what I'm trying to say. All right. Okay, I'm not hearing any objections to creating a snapshot with the things that we just discussed in there. discussed this again on 2022-10-11 with a different additional items discussed, or transferring the repository to VCWG, and then forking it here to continue working the continue working on the VC API here. The CCG to continue working on the VC API. Updates to the note will be published on a periodic basis, depending on the agreement between VCWG and CCG. Okay, that's that for that item. Anything else on this topic before we move on? All right. Next up, is issue 141. So 141 is about, is Ori asking the question, what should be the response body for posting to credential status? Let's see. So this was a time where we felt revocation was poorly understood. Now there's a desire to have a credential status mechanism here. So the question is, when you post a status update to the endpoint, what should the return value be? Let me stop and see if there are any thoughts on that. Go ahead, Dave.
So in our implementation today, I'll just speak to that. If there was an error that occurred, we return a an HTTP status code with 4XX or 5XX, depending on client or server. And if it's successful, we just return back a 200, and I don't think we send any response body today. And that's just saying we've accepted whatever status thing you've requested. I think it would be possible for our implementation to return back, as Ori suggested.
Hey, sorry. Oh, that's good. The transcriber got you. What was the what are the return values? Sorry, I missed that.
There are no return values right now. It's just a status code with an empty body for 200. And then for errors, well, I guess there are return values for errors, some kind of JSON error format, similar to what we do for any of the other APIs. And I was saying that our implementation, I think at least for statusless 2021, could return back the updated credential, but it might be advantageous to not have to do that. It might be that people want to have implementations that will update that, in a background process or something like that. So it doesn't have to be done, immediately in the response. So I think we would want to hear whether or not people thought that clients needed to have that updated value, or, you know, whether or not that was necessary. And if it wasn't necessary, maybe we just don't have a response value for that. Trying to think if there was anything else I had on that subject, but I guess not for now.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Brian, go ahead.
Oh, I just put my comment in the chat. I just wanted to mention 202 accepted. If there's no response, but it might be.
Okay. Correct. Okay. So, sorry, go ahead. Brian.
I was just saying it doesn't really matter too much. Sorry, that didn't mean to be pedantic.
Okay. Well, so what about the general? Does anyone believe that we should be returning anything in the body? Or is a status code enough? Like an HTTP status code enough?
If it's a positive or negative,
yeah,
it would be 200 or 400. I mean, I would say if it's a negative, it should include the error, if possible. But that's the only thing I would add.
Okay. Brian's doing a plus one.
Yeah, plus one for me as well.
Okay. Dave's plus one. Okay. So, so the pull request should update the post credentials status endpoint such that positive modification provides a 200 status code and a failure returns a 400 with well, I guess, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, failure could be a 4XX or a 5XX, depending on whether it's client or server error. And the other thing we could debate is whether we want to send a 204 no content, status message since we're not sending a body. That would be the more pedantic thing to do.
Sorry, what was that?
204 no content status code.
No content. This code. Brian, you were suggesting 202. Thoughts?
Yeah, really either, I think. But like honestly, 200 is probably fine as well.
Okay.
It's like the most common, obviously, so.
Okay. We need to make a call here because we need to write spec text. So what do we want, 200 or 204?
Well, so the difference in between 202 and 204. So 202 means that your request has been accepted and there might be additional processing and you might need to check back later. 204 just says success, but I don't have any response for you. So I would say, we could make it so you could send either one of these, but I don't know that we need to signal that your request has been accepted, that there might be additional processing. That's really an implementation detail. But maybe the spec could say you return a 2XX response code, either this one or that one, depending on whether the next request to check the status would be up to date or not, but all of that seems really hard to, for people to predict in eventually consistent systems and so on. So my personal feeling is that we should just do 204 and have people expect that these are, partitioned asynchronous systems anyway.
Okay. Thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like there might be some processing required for some credential status type, but I think 204 no content makes the most sense, really.
Okay. All right. So we're going to say the pull request should update post credential status endpoints such that a positive modification provides a 204 no content status code and a failure returns a 4XX or 5XX. Should we just say 2XX and say any one of these is okay? Do we have to?
I would be comfortable with just saying 2XX for now. And a lot of clients can just look for the 2 and not care about the content.
Okay.
I agree. And I believe that it can be reviewed later if there's more.
Okay. I don't know if the, if OAS allows you to, I think you have to specify each one like very clearly. But I can, I'll look at it. I mean, here's the worst case. The worst case is we have multiple 200 codes and multiple 400 codes and multiple 500 codes, and we let people pick among any one of them.
That's how most HTTP APIs kind of work today anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this one is ready for PR. Are there any objections to this kind of pull request being raised? Okay, so let's do that, and then labels is PR for PR, and we should remove the revocation should be removed thing since I think we're past that at this point. Okay, that's that item. Next up is this topic of internal versus external API language. Quite a while ago, we had, here, let me put the link in here. So quite a while ago, we had thought about this API as a, is this an internal call or is this an external call? And, so like, for example, issuing or verifying were quote unquote internal calls, whereas the exchanges APIs were external calls. And I think in the meantime, we've talked about, you know, where these endpoints can be exposed, and some of them can be exposed as internal APIs, some of them as external APIs, and some of them as both, right? And so, there's a question around us deciding that instead of calling something an internal API or an external API, we do what, you know, Joe has been suggesting. We had this discussion a while ago to basically say which, components an API could be exposed on. So is this an API that's exposed on a coordinator? Or is this an API that's exposed on a service? Or is this an API that could be exposed on both of them? Let me stop there and see what folks' thoughts are on this. Should we try to use internal external API language, or should we instead just say which components an API can be exposed on? Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I was under the impression that all these API paths were part of this coordinator that we defined, and it was not meant to be exposed publicly, but meant to be controlled by another application, like a web application or whatever the implementation requires.
To kind of speak to that directly, here's our system diagram, right? And this app stuff is being renamed a coordinator. But once that's done, there's a question around, is the API, you know, which one of these blocks is the API exposed on? Or can it be exposed on multiple of them? And I think the reality today is that some of the APIs can be exposed on multiple of these blocks. While some of them are not really intended to be exposed, you know, externally. The internal versus external language is bad, but the idea is that we would be able to say, oh, the issuer endpoint, that's exposed on the issuer service, or the exchange's endpoint, well, that can be exposed on the issuer coordinator or the holder coordinator or the verifier coordinator. The status service is something, you know, the status get service is exposed on the status service. So I think that's the, that was, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, Joe, that's your suggestion is to do that. And I think we had consensus, to do that, which would then mean that the internal versus external nomenclature is not needed anymore. Let me stop there and see.
Because I feel like it would sort of add another layer of complexity to have this external-internal distinction.
Yep, agreed. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the queue.
Yeah, I just want to echo, I think that internal-external have, we've moved past their usefulness. In that, you know, we really don't have a perimeter model for security in this system, especially with three parties. Like, who's inside, who's outside, what's internal or external? Those were parts of the semantic confusion as we were debating this before. I think when we identify who's calling what endpoint on what component, then it will pull into focus the information we thought we were getting with internal and external and let us make proper decisions. So in general, an endorsement for your approach there, Manu.
Oops, sorry, I was speaking. So, does that mean that, we basically close this issue, noting that our plan is to, not use internal versus external language? Instead, what we're going to do is just note, which APIs are exposed on what components and talk about it that way.
With one note, and I think we, I know we're still trying to pull in some of the changes in language from the coordinator and, so that the components are anchored on, so endpoints are anchored on a component. I think we also need to start folding in who's calling it or who is expected to call it. I, someone calling, an issuer coordinator on behalf of the holder would be a very different, privacy and security problem than if a verifier were contacting that same issuer on that same endpoint, mm-hmm. But in their role as a verifier instead of their role as a holder. Mm-hmm. And I think those nuances, we're still just getting some awareness of how do we talk about them.
Agreed. Go ahead, Patrick, and then we've got to close up the call.
Yeah, so like, for example, I know we were discussing, like you mentioned, like there's a authorization mechanism in place. My question sort of goes like, does that authorization mechanism apply to every endpoint, or is there endpoint that are designed to be sort of anonymously queried, like the discovery endpoint, for example, or that's not
status.
The case?
Status would be one example of that, that's supposed to be quote unquote anonymously hit and, like the status list. And then, the other one would be an exchange, like starting an exchange could be started, anonymously. Did that answer your question, Patrick?
Yeah. So in that case, those two endpoints should be public.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna have to, we'll have to struggle through some of that language. And it's not clear if it's public, right? Because you could do that in an intranet, which is technically not public.
Right.
Right. Okay, so any objections to basically closing this issue and not using the internal-external language and focusing instead on, specifying that endpoints are anchored to specific ecosystem components, services, coordinators. And we'll focus on who calls each endpoint. Any objections? I don't want to rush this. If people have a concern about it, we can leave this to the next call.
I would probably leave it.
Okay. All right. We'll cover this again on the next call. Okay. All right, that's it for the call today. Apologies for going 4 minutes over. Thank you, everyone, for the great discussion, and we will see everyone again next week. Thanks all. Bye.